Bibles out, and we're going to turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 5. We have been teaching through the fruit of the Spirit in here on our Wednesday nights, so you teenagers, we're going to catch you up for the last 7 weeks that you missed, and then we'll quiz you at the end of the night and see how you do on that. You're like, no more school. Galatians 5 and verse number 16, and when you find that, we'll read from verse number 16 till the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16. And we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit, and here it also talks about the works of the flesh. And so we'll make sure we look through this tonight for a few moments. Galatians 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." The fruit of the Spirit, when you are a Christian, you are saved, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. He has begun a good work in you, and that work begins at the moment of salvation, a home in heaven. But know this, that salvation is just the beginning of what God wants to do in your life. Now, that's the greatest gift, that home in heaven, eternal life. But God wants to do something with your life while you're here. God wants to control your life and guide your life and use your life. But He will not force you to do anything. It's your choice. He doesn't force you to get saved. You have to choose to accept Christ as your Savior. He doesn't force you to do His will. You have to choose to do His will. He doesn't make you walk with Him. But as a Christian, when you get saved, old things passed away. All things are become new. And God is doing a new work. Now again, as we've taught through this, I'll give you just a brief review. But we have a choice, young people, to live in the flesh or the Spirit. That flesh is that sinful nature that wants to do wrong. You know, when it says, wet paint, don't touch, your flesh says, I want to touch, right? When someone says, don't look, your flesh wants to look. The flesh always wants to go the wrong direction. When someone says, stop running, your flesh wants to run faster. Is that just me or is that you as well, right? That's our sinful nature, as is every one of us. And our sinful nature always wants to go away from God, even as a saved person. But now as a saved person, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, He wants to point you in the right direction, but you have to choose to walk in the Spirit. It's a choice. We naturally walk in the flesh. We naturally wake up grumpy, mean, prideful, selfish, all the things that you can imagine. That's natural. But the spiritual man walking with God, it takes work. It takes labor every day. The Bible says in verse 16, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You must choose to walk in the Spirit every day. Did you spend time with the Lord today? Did you get alone with God and open your Bible and spend time in prayer before you started the day? I hope you didn't run off and grab your clothes and your bowl of cereal. I'm kind of preaching the teens now. Maybe the adults are the same thing too. I'm not against a good bowl of cereal, by the way. But you grab your stuff and run off on the day because you're too busy and you just, you take off. But you take off without spending time with the Lord. You're not going to walk in the Spirit if you're not spending time with the Spirit. You open the Word of God and God wants to change your life. He wants to reveal the things that need to get out and reveal the things that need to be put in there. And He's doing a work in your life and mine. And that's a work every single day. When you walk in the Spirit, you want to be led by the Spirit. Say, God, would you guide my words today? Lord, would you guide my hands today? Would you guide my feet? Would you guide my eyes and my ears and everything about me? God, would you please lead me? because I know this, when I'm in the lead, I get myself into trouble. When I do my own thing, and when you do your own thing, we get ourselves into trouble. And the Holy Spirit says, I'd like to help you if you'll just stop and ask for my help. Again, God will never force His will upon you, but He will make you want to do it. He'll correct you if you don't do it. Do you walk in the Spirit, and then are you led by the Spirit? And then when you are led by the Spirit, it produces the fruit of the Spirit. As a young person, I always thought, I don't want to live in the flesh. You know, and I was kind of thinking about it. I don't want to live in the flesh, and then I'm going to try to walk in the Spirit. Instead of the opposite, you walk in the Spirit, so then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, then you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I also used to think this, that you have to try to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Well, I need to love more. I'm going to work at loving more. No, you don't need to work at loving more. You need to work at walking with God more. And then God will produce the love that comes from the Spirit in your life, that Christ-like love. The Christ-like, as you'd see in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is, and it produces these things. When you walk in the Spirit, He produces a godly love in your life. He produces a godly joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And tonight we'll look at the subject of faith. And I won't go over a review of all the other ones tonight, or we'll be here all evening. The fruit of faith. Again, when you walk in the Spirit, He produces these in your life. Again, you plant the fruit, you plant the seed, I should say, for that fruit of the vegetables, and you wait, and you water, and it gets the sunlight and the soil, and you protect it from all the animals that want to eat it up. You protect it, and you want to get some fruit. Now, God wants to produce some things in your life. You know, the Bible says, by your fruit you shall know them. You know, you see, by your fruit, you know someone's a Christian. They're walking with God. So let's look at the fruit of faith tonight. Faith, I'll define this and give you a couple of scripture passages and give you some thoughts about this tonight. But faith, it's the conviction of the truth of anything, belief. The conviction of the truth of anything, belief. It's faithfulness, fidelity, and reliability in one's walk with God, rather than just an initial belief. What it means is this: this faith, it begins at salvation, but it is the Christian life put into action. Faith. The faith to say, well, I believe in God, but you never follow God. Is that really faith? No. I believe that God can save me, but you never ask Him to save you. Right? And so it's faith in action. It's a firm belief in God and in His Word and in His will, and you put your faith in God. Again, it's one thing to say, oh, I believe God, but you never follow Him. I believe God, but I never listen to Him. Oh, I'm a Christian, but you never spend time in your Bible and in prayer and going to church. Well, there's no action to the faith, and God produces some things in our lives. You know what? I believe that God wants us to have a faith-filled prayer life. Don't you think so? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and a faith-filled prayer life. So you can go to your prayer life without faith. But the Bible says that if you have faith, you come believing that God will answer our prayers. God wants to have a faith-filled prayer life. What about a faith-filled soul winning and witnessing? That when you go and tell others about Christ, you go believing that God is going to do work and God is going to see souls saved and speak to hearts. What about faith filled in your home, in your marriage, with your children, with your parents or siblings, that you have faith to believe God's word and then put it into practice? So we know this, the Christian life, it begins by faith at the moment of salvation. You are born into the family of God. But the rest of the Christian life is also lived by faith. Every part of it, every single part of the Christian life is by faith. For instance, you believe in God? Amen. Have you ever seen God? No, but I've seen God working all around me in my life. I've seen God, so I have faith in God. You ever seen heaven? No, but I believe it's there, right? And so it's more than just believing, oh, I believe there's a God, put your faith in God. Oh, I believe there's heaven, are you living for eternity? See, that fruit of God working in your life, it produces in your life. You look at life differently when you have a faith-filled life. Real faith is put into action, right? Real faith is put into action. Have you ever seen someone that maybe went to go walk across a board or a log or maybe a section of ice and you come to it and you're not sure if it's strong enough. So what do? You kind of like reach out there and kind of test it, right? Like, is it going to hold me up? Or you send your brother first and say, I'm sure it's good. You go first, and if they fall, it didn't work. And if it lasted, you're good. But it's putting your faith into action. And too many times we're kind of testing the waters. And even as a saved person, you go, God, I believe, but are you really going to come through? And we're kind of testing God. God says, prove me. I'm going to come through for you. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. He says, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Christian, are you adding to your faith? Too many times we act in doubt and fear and worry, you know, but what about stepping out by faith? What about living by faith? Again, I always think of Peter walking on the water to Jesus, and I think of that no one's walked on the water other than Jesus and Peter, other than those lizards that run across the water. What are they called? Isn't it Jesus lizard? That's what it's called, right? Thank you for helping me with that. But I think of Peter stepping on the water. The sea is billowing around him, the storm, and Jesus walking to him. And Peter goes and starts walking out to him. See, that's faith put into action. Stepping out in faith to the Lord. Add to your faith. When's the last time you added to your faith? You added to it. Not taken away, but you added to it. So Lord, help me to have more faith. We're not going to look through it, but how many times in Scripture did Jesus commend somebody's faith? The Roman centurion, I think it was, that he said, I've not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. And he commended the faith of those that believed. Faith. In this passage in 1 Peter 1, it says, add to your faith, and gives a whole list there. And then it says in verse number 8, For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at that. It's similar to the passage we're looking at. When you add to your Christian life, faith, virtue, temperance, all the things it says, when you do that, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you adding in your Christian faith? I'd ask you to turn over to Hebrews chapter number 11, and I love this passage about faith. It's the Hall of Faith passage and some of the heroes of the faith that the Lord has pointed out to us. But it begins here talking and defining what faith is. So in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, and we'll stick with this passage here for the remainder of the message and give you some truths here. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. I want to encourage you to underline or circle some words, and I want to point out a few words here. You've read it many times, I'm sure, but I'd like to just get some thoughts through this about our faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the, if you underline or circle the word substance. Faith has substance. Faith in God, I should say. Right? You can put faith in a whole lot of other things, and you could find out at times that your faith is empty because you put your faith in a whole lot of nothing. And we'll come back here in a little bit. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As we're going to look through these first six verses of Hebrews chapter 11, but I want to look through this kind of a roadmap to faith. This roadmap to faith that you see in the passage, and then God starts to highlight some heroes of the faith through this chapter. The first one I want to look at is this word of substance. This word substance means a setting under support or confidence. This foundation, again, the Christian life has the foundation built upon Jesus Christ. Amen? He is our foundation in our lives. Now, you can choose to build your life on anything that you want, but faith in Jesus has substance. There's something to it. It's not an empty faith. It's not a foolish faith. There is substance in faith in God. Contradicting on the opposite of substance, I think of cotton candy, all right? Has a whole lot of fluff, a lot of color. One time we went to Rare Air and they had a cotton candy machine. I don't know if you ever did one of those. The kids wanted to do it, so we made a cotton. It would make a shape out of the cotton candy and all the different colors you want. And I forget what shape it made. It was incredible. It's huge. But you see the cotton candy and it's got a lot of color and it was big. But when you go to bite into it, it disappears, right? It's nothing. It's just sugar, just colored sugar. And all the kids say amen to the sugar, right? There's no substance to it. It's empty. It's a lot of fluff and there's no substance. That's what a lot of people's lives are. Putting faith in something that has no substance to it. I'm thankful as a Christian that there is substance to our faith, isn't there? There's a substance to our faith. There's a foundation, and it's built on Jesus Christ. There might be organizations or good charities you can give to, but there's not a lot of substance to it. But when it's built on God, there is substance there. Faith in God is a strong foundation to build your life on. You know that parable about the wise man and the foolish man? The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? Foolish man built his house upon the sand. They both built their life on a foundation, didn't they? But the wise man built his life on the foundation of the rock. That's a picture of Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. He's the stronghold. But the foolish man built on the sand. There was no substance there. It fell flat when the storms came. There was nothing there. See, Christian, when your life is built on the Lord, there is substance, there's a strong foundation when the trials come. Not if they come, when they come. When your life is built strong in the foundation of the Word of God. That's why as a saved person, you need to continue to build your life on the foundation of God so that your faith is strong when the winds and the waves come. Maybe when false teachers... false doctrine whispers come your way, and you say, this is the foundation I have on God. There is substance. As you continue there, the next word is evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now you think about that, evidence of things not seen. Well, that's what faith is, right? It's evidence. This word evidence is a proof, that by which a thing is proved or tested. It's proof. You say, well, have you ever seen God? No, but I've seen the working of God. It's kind of like you would say, have you ever seen the wind? No, but I've seen the evidence of the wind. You see the wind moving through the trees, or maybe as a strong storm comes and it could even blow a whole tree or a house down, whatever it may be. And there's evidence of that wind. Well, guess what? There's evidence of the working of God. You go back through your life, is there evidence of God working in your life? That, again, that substance, that foundation, and then the evidence. You go back and there's proof. They say the proof's in the pudding. I don't really know what that means, but makes you want pudding, then I'm not sure. But there's proof. There's something there. It's not empty. You have a lot of false theories and false teachings out there when there's no evidence. There's nothing to back it up. But I'm thankful we have a Bible and a God that there's evidence to back up our faith. So the fruit of faith in your life, there is substance, there is an evidence. But then also I'd like to ask you to continue reading in the next verse. In verse number two, it says, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand. I'd like to encourage you to circle that word understand. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It says we understand. When there is substance, there's a foundation. And then when there's evidence and there's proof, then you understand. right? You understand what God is doing in your life. God ever done something in your life and say, God, I just don't understand. I just don't know. God, I want to understand. I'm trying to understand, but I just don't. Now, I'll say this. You're not always going to understand everything that God does because He's God. We are finite. We are confined to our understanding, our knowledge. He's infinite, and He knows all things we don't. I'm not going to understand everything. But there's things to know in your Christian life that when you walk with God, He builds your faith and He builds an understanding. He gives you wisdom to walk in this world today, to walk wisely and not as a fool. He gives understanding. You see the world through the perspective of God's Word. Amen? I hope you do that. I hope you view the world through the Word of God and you go, what in the world are they doing and what in the world are they thinking? You get understanding. You say, why do they not understand it? Because they're blinded by lies, unsaved. Again, the Bible says they walk in darkness. They're stumbling. They don't know the Word of God. That's why it's so important to give the gospel so that God opens their eyes and gives understanding to those that walk in darkness. So He gives us understanding. And then next, I want to encourage you to look down in verse number 4. And now it starts talking about some of the heroes of the faith, and God challenges us and highlights some of their faith. In verse number 4, it says, by faith, Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by he being dead yet speaketh. You could use this for every single person, but every single hero of the faith, their faith was put into practice, and you see their obedience. And that's what Abel did. He had obedience to God. What was his obedience? He offered the sacrifice of an animal to God. Well, what did Cain do? He offered the fruits of his labor. He brought all the goods of all that he did. That's a beautiful picture of faith and works right at the beginning of Scripture. And God accepted that faith and not the works. But there was obedience to Abel's faith. To say that you believe and not obey is really not faith. To say, oh, I believe God, but I'm not actually going to follow through with it. You're like, oh, I don't know if you really believe it then. You must put it into practice. As it might be said, where the rubber meets the road, and you got to get some traction and put it into obedience in your life. We could go through every one of the heroes of the faith. Abel, he offered a sacrifice to God, obedience. Enoch walked with God. Noah built an ark. Abraham, he left his country. Sarah, by faith, she gave birth to Isaac, believed God. Abraham, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. God spared him, of course. Isaac, he blessed both Jacob and Esau. Joseph, he gave instructions for his remains to be taken out of Egypt. Moses followed God. All of these heroes of the faith, they had obedience. You may say, well, God, I believe. Well, does your obedience backing up your faith and what you believe? Are you obeying God? And then after you have the obedience in your life, I want you to look at verse number 5, and then we see that it's pleasing in the sight of God. In verse number 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, look at this, that he pleased God. What a great testimony, isn't that? He walked with God for 365 years, and then God took him. And he had a testimony that he pleased God with his life. Wouldn't that be a great testimony? Husbands and wives, that you'd say, you know what, today, if I do anything, I just want to please God. Young people, wouldn't that be great? In your school day and at home, you say, I just want to please God. You know, when you have faith in God and you have obedience to God and you do what's right, God is pleased, right? Just as a parent, when they tell their child what to do and they obey with a good attitude right away, doing it completely, you know what that parent looks at their child and they go, I'm pleased with you, right? Amen, said every parent, that was your chance. Say, I am pleased with you that you obeyed. You did what's right. And God is pleased when He sees your faith that's put into obedience in your life. It's pleasing to God. As we saw that in verse number 6, he had the testimony that he pleased God. But as you look down in verse number 6 as well, it says, but without faith it's impossible to what? To please him. Without faith, you cannot please God. You can't please him with your works. Why? Because I missed the mark with my imperfection, my flesh. So only by faith can I please God in my life. And when God looks down and you're obedient, he is pleased. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I think I stopped telling you to circle some words here, but the word is pleased that I was encouraging you to underline or circle. And the last one is that he is a rewarder. Now, I don't know about you, but I like rewards, right? You like the blessings. You like to be rewarded for doing good. Now, should we all do right whether we are rewarded or not? Well, of course we should. But I'm thankful that we serve a God that when you by faith obey him and his word, he says, you know what? I want to bless him. I want to bless her. I want to reward them in their life. And God rewards those that are obedient to him. All through this Hall of Faith chapter that you see people that God blessed. Abraham, God blessed him. Sarah, God blessed her. And Abel and Enoch and all of the ones through here, that God rewarded them for their faith. Now, do you think that God's going to reward them for their faith, but not you? No, of course not. No, I'm thankful that God, he wants to bless, he wants to reward. You know why? Because you know what happens when a child that's done right and they are rewarded for doing right? What does that make them want to do the next time? Obey again the next time. Doesn't it? The same thing with us in our life. When we obey God, God said, I'm going to reward you because I want you to keep going the right direction with your faith and obedience to God, that we are rewarded by God. Look down at verse number 24. Verse number 24. It says here about Moses. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater, what is it? Riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses could have taken all the earthly treasures. He could have had the name, the house, the power, all the stuff. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You realize what he gave up, earthly speaking? You know, there's times where you give up something earthly speaking and you go, Lord, I know I'm doing what's right, but this hurts knowing what I'm giving up to serve you. You ever had to do that before? You give up a job, a relationship in some way, and you say, God, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I want to be rewarded by you, not rewarded by the world. Amen? See, the world will reward you, earthly speaking, but that passes away. It's empty. But God's rewards are eternal. And Moses looked at that and said, I'm not living for today and for this world. I'm living for the God of heaven. And said, I want to follow God. And so he chose to be one of God's people, and he led them out of Egypt. And God blessed him for his faith. I'm going to give you a couple of questions, and then we'll finish with the lesson tonight. The fruit of the Spirit produces faith in your life. Two questions. Number one is this. Is the Lord growing your faith? Is he growing your faith? Not just maintaining, definitely not lessening, but is God growing your faith? Are you building your faith in God? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, it produces faith. That assurance, that belief in God. I hope that your faith in God and his word is growing more and more. Every time you read God's word, I hope it's building your faith. Every time you go to church, you live for God, he is building your faith, knowing that God is right, and he builds your faith and builds your faith. Every time you obey God, you're putting your faith into practice, building your faith. Every time you go through a trial and you stay faithful to God, you're building your faith in the Lord. Is the Lord growing your faith? Number one. Then second question is this. Are you putting your faith into action? Are you putting into action? Not just someday I'm going to live for God. Someday I'm going to do what's right. Someday we're going to get the house in order. Someday I'm going to get serious about walking with God. Put your faith into action. Hey, just, you know this, talk is cheap. We can say whatever we want, but talk is cheap. Put it into action. Is God doing a work in your life in the area of your faith? The fruit of the Spirit produces faith. Is God building your faith? I don't know about you, but I look back in my life at times where God has built my faith. He builds your faith, starting with salvation, God working in your life through trials, difficulties, people instructing your life, and the Word of God. And God is always trying to grow your faith, add to your faith. How do we do that? Spending time with God.